The writer Chris Onstad used to work at a Silicon Valley tech firm. He drew cartoon characters in his spare time, which soon became a new career.
The relatively unproven concept of making a living off of a web comic.
A web comic. Your newspaper comic page may be getting smaller, but one source, the webcomiclist.com, counts 12,000 comics online. Chris Onstad's comic strip, Akewood, is among the most acclaimed. That's A-C-H-E, Wood, Akewood. It depicts a stark world in black and white. The characters are coarse, but their inspiration was cuddly.
I sketched out some of my wife's stuffed animals, and I put voices in their mouths. And over time, they actually grew into their own characters.
Well, now, let me just ask about that, though. These are stuffed animals that your wife has had since she was a little girl?
Yeah, in a couple cases. Some of these are 30 years old, sitting on a shelf in our house. Yeah.
Is your wife happy to go online and see that her stuffed animals swear, drink a lot, try to sell obscene products that we won't even describe on the radio, and do various other things?
Yeah, you'll have to buy the book for that.
In the book, those sweet stuffed animals commit acts of fantastic violence. The book is called The Great Outdoor Fight, which is a made-up extreme sport. Thousands of creatures brawl for days until all but one is torn apart. The story evolved as Chris Onstad posted strips online.
It happened totally by accident. What I do is I'm a cartoonist who works, I post, you know, 3-4 times a week in the mythical world called Akewood that I've made up. And I kind of think of The Great Outdoor Fight as something where, like Tolkien said, the tale grew in the telling. I had a character discover that his long-lost father had won this thing, and then he went to enter it himself. I wrote it day by day, and as a daily gag strip artist, I was really concerned that people weren't going to hang on for the 3 months it took to tell this online. But they did, and it became our most critically acclaimed piece of work ever.
Well, let's go to page 29 of this, if we can. I just wonder if you can describe a couple of your main characters here, because it gets us a little bit into this world that you've created.
On page 29 in the book, what we have is the two major protagonists, Ray, who's sort of the wealthy, chubby, happy-go-lucky, and Roast Beef, who's the depressive roadie who's helping him get to the fight, but he's actually more of a scholar of the thing. Roast Beef is explaining to Ray basically how the Great Outdoor Fight will work once they get inside the grounds. You know, they're talking, they're on the road to Bakersfield, which is where the fight is held every year, and Ray's in the sidecar, being chauffeured to the Great Outdoor Fight, where he's expected to win because he's blood of a former champion. So Ray says, So what's the main thing I got to know going into this? The fight is 3 days, which is enough time for an ad hoc culture to form. Two armies typically arise and their pawns are sent to the front. It's rumored that the army leaders often fight only on days 1 and 3 and traditionally feast on turkeys and brandy on day 2. Damn, sounds like I got to be an army leader. Are there side dishes?
Now, I'm already just looking at the page, getting a sense of the different voices that you have assigned to these characters and the way that you've represented that online. Some of these guys are punctuated. Some of them are not so punctuated. Some people use capital letters. Some of them don't. Is there an online reason for that?
There's a grammatical reason. The character who speaks in a smaller typeface without punctuation is the depressive one who I like to imagine speaks in more of a low mumble most of the time. That's just my way of representing that visually. One thing I say time and again is comics are such a restrictive medium. I want to have sound so badly for so much of this stuff.
Well, let me ask about that, because here we are talking on the radio. And those of us who work in the radio know this is a very old, outdated medium. And we persuade ourselves that it's more powerful in a way because the voice is so powerful. And you don't have the distraction of an image and you really hear an individual's story. So I want to ask the same question about the comics. Even though it's old, outdated, limited, weak in a way, what is the power of it?
Just like with radio, your brain fills in so many of the blanks. If you look at the art here, it's fairly spare. This is more about the writing, and the richer I can make the dialogue, I think, helps people conjure up in their minds what they want these people to be.
It sounds like people have begun demanding that you fill in more blanks for them. You have blogs written in the voices of many of your characters.
Right. That I did because I was so pent up with, I had so much more I wanted to do with these characters, but even in the format I work in what I consider a sort of a Sunday format. Every time I post, which is 2 rows of 6 or 8 panels or more.
Bigger than the and tiny daily comic that you'd see in it.
Right, the tiny daily comic, I can't imagine how people work in that medium. It's so small. You can only have like 25 words in one of those or it looks too dense. And I can't get enough done with that. You can't make richness in that. I mean, sure, people argue that, oh, well, Peanuts was rich. That was huge. But yeah, he did that over 50 years.
Yeah.
I'm like at capacity and how much I can produce, but still I feel like people are always demanding more. So I
that raises another question. This is something you hear about comic artists all the time, is the murderous demand of the deadlines.
See, since I work for myself, I regularly blow deadlines left and right like I was going duck hunting. People have great patience for me because typically a responsible man would write his cartoon a few weeks in advance and have it ready, and then it would go live every morning at 8 a.m. on some sort of dependable schedule. But, you know, I'm not doing a little single stripper every morning. I'm creating tales in the making. Sometimes they're really long, sometimes they're short. Sometimes, instead of doing a comic, I'll write a bunch of new blog entries for the characters, and people just have to roll with it. If they disappear, they disappear.
Given that this is a lot of work and that it keeps expanding, and you say that it's gotten to the maximum that you can handle at the moment, do you think about famous comic artists like, I don't know, Bill Watterson or Gary Larson, and I should say the authors of Calvin and Hobbes and The Far Side, people that did acclaimed work, and one day they said, I'm all through, I'm finished with this, I can't do it anymore, and pretty soon it'd be hard to even say where they were.
Yeah, those guys ran, I don't know, for about 10 years each, right? And they have really great standalone bodies of work. I don't see myself ending the Akewood daily strip just yet, but I really do want to branch out into other things. I don't just want to be a daily strip guy. And I think those guys like Watterson and Larson, they might look like, you know, silly little comics, but those guys put their heart and soul into those things, and they stopped because they had to, because I don't want to say they're well dried up, but you don't feel the same way forever. I like the characters in this body of work. I like the voices. I think they cover all aspects of the way I see the world. Not all aspects. But I've created a good vehicle for communicating with people. And I don't want to throw it away.
Chris Onstad is the creator of the online comic strip Akewood and author of The Great Outdoor Fight. Great talking with you.
All right, man.
You can read an excerpt from The Great Outdoor Fight at npr.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.